Welcome everyone to the Built on Jesus online Bible study session 2. You know, in the last session we talked about love, and we talked that none of us are good enough to earn the love of Jesus, that he chooses to love us. And so today we're going to learn that Jesus loves us regardless of our past, regardless of our sin, that he loves us so much. And so before we get started, I want to show you some pictures. So what you're seeing now on the screen is the Burj Khalifa. It is located in Dubai. The Burj Khalifa is the tallest freestanding building in the world. It stands at 2,717 feet tall with 163 floors. It has to have a strong foundation for it to stand and to be able to be supported. Actually, the foundation of the Burj Khalifa was constructed from over 58,900 cubic yards of concrete. That is a lot. And all that concrete weighs more than 110,000 tons. Without this huge amount of concrete, this enormous structure would not be able to stand. And so for this second session, we're going to focus on the foundation of forgiveness. And so we're going to talk about a man who called himself the chief or the worst of sinners. This man learned that Jesus came to die so that all people may be forgiven regardless of their sin. And this man's name was Paul. And so many of you have probably heard about Paul. You've heard about his complete 180-degree turn in life. And so today we're going to look at his story, but from a different perspective. We're going to see how Paul used his story to share his faith and to defend his faith. And while studying for this, I noticed something interesting. So there are three times in the book of Acts where you get to hear Paul's story. The first time is in Acts 9. The second time is in Acts 22, and the third time is in Acts 26. And so today we're going to look at the third time in Acts 26. So let me give you some background on what's been going on. So in Acts 24 and 25, we see that Paul has been apprehended by the Jews, and they wanted Paul to be sentenced to death. Why, you may ask? Well, we see in Acts 24, verses 5 and 6, we see that the Jews accused Paul of being a troublemaker, stirring up riots among the Jews all over the world, and that he tried to desecrate the temple or treat the temple without respect or reverence. So Paul was brought before Governor Felix, and Governor Felix decided to keep Paul in prison for 2 years until he was succeeded because he wanted to do the Jews a favor. He was at a loss of what to do with Paul, basically. And so we learn that Governor Felix is then succeeded by Governor Festus, and Governor Festus also wanted to do the Jews a favor and tried to return Paul to Jerusalem. But Paul appealed to Emperor Caesar, which was his right as a Roman citizen. And several days later, a king named Agrippa and his sister Bernice visited Governor Festus. And so Governor Festus was talking with King Agrippa and told him about this prisoner named Paul. And so King Agrippa was intrigued and asked to see Paul and wanted to hear his story. And so let's find out what happens. We're going to be reading from Acts 26, verses 1 to 29, and we're going to divide this passage into chunks. So we're going to start by reading Acts 26, verses 1 through 3. And it says, "Then King Agrippa said to Paul, 'You have permission to speak for yourself.' So Paul motioned with his hand and began his defense. 'King Agrippa, I consider myself fortunate to stand before you today as I make my defense against all the accusations of the Jews, and especially so because you are well acquainted with all the Jewish customs and controversies. Therefore, I beg you to listen to me patiently.'" So just in these three verses, we see that Paul is brought before King Agrippa, invited to speak. And so Paul stood before the king, ready to defend his faith and his actions, which leads me to some questions. And again, these will be linked down below in the description, some discussion questions. But I want to pose these questions to you right now. If you had to defend your faith, do you think you could do it? What would you say? Have you ever taken a stand for Jesus at school, work, or your neighborhood? Why is taking a stand for Jesus or even defending your faith important? Why do you think people are not willing to defend their faith? See, as believers, we should always be ready to defend our faith and take a stand for Jesus. And so we're going to move on now to Acts 26, verses 4 to 11. "The Jewish people all know the way I have lived ever since I was a child, from the beginning of my life in my own country and also in Jerusalem. They have known me for a long time and can testify, if they are willing, that I conform to the strictest sect of our religion, living as a Pharisee. And now it is because of my hope in what God has promised our ancestors that I am on trial today. This is the promise our 12 tribes are hoping to see fulfilled as they earnestly serve God day and night. King Agrippa, it is because of this hope that these Jews are accusing me. Why should any of you consider it incredible that God raises the dead? I too was convinced that I ought to do all that was possible to oppose the name of Jesus of Nazareth. And that is just what I did in Jerusalem. On the authority of the chief priest, I put many of the Lord's people in prison, and when they were put to death, I cast my vote against them. Many a time I went from one synagogue to another to have them punished. I tried to force them to blasphemy. I was so obsessed with persecuting them that I even hunted them down in foreign cities. So Paul begins his defense by looking back at his past. And what was his past? Well, we see in just these verses that he was a Jew from birth. We see that in verse 4. In verse 5, we see that he was a Pharisee. And then in verses 9 through 11, we see that he punished and imprisoned Christians before his conversion. So Paul boldly confesses his past of punishing Christians when he stood before King Agrippa. And Paul made it known that he was a sinner in need of redemption. And so, first of all, let's take a look at how would we define sin? If I asked you to define sin, how could you describe it? Well, you may say, well, sin is disobedience. You may say that sin is seeking our own desires. You could also say that sin is departing from God's plan for us. And so I was interested, and I did some studying this week on what is sin. And so I want us to take a look by starting to look at kind of the origins of the word sin. So the word sin is from the Greek word hamartia, which means to miss the mark. As a matter of fact, hamartia is an archery term for missing the mark. And so if an archer, you know, had his bow and shot it and he missed the bullseye, the judge would call back hamartia or sinner to signify that they had missed the mark, that they had not hit the bullseye. And so in the biblical context, sin is breaking God's law, which is outlined in God's word, in the Bible, of course. And sin is the act of not doing what God wants. And so I was doing, again, some research, and I found this interesting, some interesting quotes from John Piper, who's a theologian and author of many Christian books like Don't Waste Your Life and Desiring God. And he defines sin as this: sinning is any feeling or thought or speech or action that comes from a heart that does not treasure God over all things. Sin is the glory of God not honored. Sin is the holiness of God not reverenced. Sin is the greatness of God not admired. Sin is the power of God not praised. Sin is the truth of God not sought. Sin is the wisdom of God not esteemed. Sin is the beauty of God not treasured. Sin is the goodness of God not savored. Sin is the faithfulness of God not trusted. Sin is the promises of God not believed. Sin is the commandments of God not obeyed. Sin is the justice of God not respected. Sin is the wrath of God not feared. Sin is the grace of God not cherished. Sin is the presence of God not prized. And sin is the person of God not loved. Let me ask you something. What do you think we have in common? What do you think I have in common with you? Well, you may look at me and you may say, well, I have black hair. Or maybe you have brown eyes. Or maybe you have a brother or sister. Or maybe we went to the same school together. Go Panthers, by the way. Or maybe we go to the same church. Or for most of us who are watching this, we live in the United States of America. So there is something, though, I want to point out that you and I, that we all have without a doubt in common with everyone else. This is actually something that we have in common with everyone who has lived, who is living right now, and whoever will live, and that is sin. See, we see in Genesis that God created mankind without sin and placed man and woman in a perfect setting so that God can have a close, personal, intimate relationship with them. But man decided to go against God's desires and disobeyed him by eating from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And so we see there that sin enters the world and no one can escape it. And that's bad news. But there's good news, and that is that we have forgiveness available to us through Jesus. See, because of his grace, we are redeemed from our sins. And so what is grace? How would you define grace? Well, grace is the undeserved favor, love, and mercy given by God. Think of it this way: grace, God's riches at Christ's expense. I'll say it again: God's riches at Christ's expense. In Ephesians 1 and 2, you know, it talks about the riches, the inheritance that we get as God's children. And I would encourage you to read that in your free time. Ephesians 1 and 2 is just full of incredible promises. But we can only be redeemed from our sin through Christ. And so what is redemption? So redemption is paying the price for someone else or atoning for a fault or mistake. So we see that when Jesus redeems us from our sin, he not only forgives us of our sins, but he forgets them as if they never happened. And as we move on, we see how Paul continues to recall how his life was transformed by Jesus. And so we're going to move on now to Acts chapter 26, verses 12 through 18. On one of these journeys, I was going to Damascus with the authority and commission of the chief priest. About noon, King Agrippa, as I was on the road, I saw a light from heaven, brighter than the sun, blazing around me and my companions. We all fell to the ground, and I heard a voice saying to me in Aramaic, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? It is hard for you to kick against the goads." Then I asked, "Who are you, Lord?" "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting," the Lord replied. "Now get up and stand on your feet. I have appeared to you to appoint you as a servant and as a witness of what you have seen and will see of me. I will rescue you from your own people and from the Gentiles. I am sending you to them to open their eyes and turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God, so that they may receive forgiveness of sins and a place among those who are sanctified by faith in me." Paul's testimony is truly amazing. And as we look back on it, we see that Paul was traveling to Damascus because he had obtained permission from the chief priest to arrest those who proclaimed Jesus as the Messiah. His journey to Damascus was around 175 miles and would have taken about 6 days to get there. Think about that, 175 miles, that's a lot. That's from here to Franklin, Tennessee, just before you get to Nashville. And the fact that he would travel this far for this long truly shows his passion. See, in verse 11, or the last part of verse 11, we see that him saying, "I was so obsessed with persecuting them that I even hunted them down in foreign cities." And it was during that journey that Paul had an encounter with Christ that would change his life forever. The scripture says that a light brighter than the sun, in verse 13, appeared. Paul heard the voice of Jesus speak to him. And Jesus called Paul by name. I want you to notice that in scripture. Jesus called Paul by name, proving that he knew Paul on a personal basis. And you know what? Jesus knows your name too. And he desires to have a personal relationship with each and every single one of you. But as we move on, we see that Jesus tells Paul, "I am the one you are persecuting." And Jesus also told Paul that he had been chosen to spread the news of forgiveness from Jesus, or through Jesus, to the Gentiles. Jesus was willing to forgive Paul, and he did. And so just as Jesus forgave Paul, those who trust in Jesus to be their Savior and Lord are forgiven of their sins. And then Paul goes on to explain that he had been obedient to what Jesus had told him. And Paul would go on to preach in Damascus, in Jerusalem, in Judea, and to all the Gentiles. And so we're going to pick up in Acts 26, verses 19 through 29. "So then, King Agrippa, I was not disobedient to the vision from heaven, first to those in Damascus, then to those in Jerusalem, and in all Judea. I preached that they should repent and turn to God and demonstrate their repentance by their deeds. That is why some Jews seized me in the temple courts and tried to kill me. But God has helped me to this very day. So I stand here and testify to small and great alike. I am saying nothing beyond what the prophets and Moses said would happen, that the Messiah would suffer and, as the first to rise from the dead, would bring the message of light to his own people and to the Gentiles." At this point, Festus interrupted Paul's defense. "You are out of your mind, Paul," he shouted. "Your great learning is driving you insane. I am not insane, most excellent Festus, Paul replied. What I am saying is true and reasonable. The king is familiar with these things, and I can speak freely to him. I am convinced that none of this has escaped his notice, because it is not done in a corner. King Agrippa, do you believe the prophets? I know you do. Then Agrippa said to Paul, do you think that in such a short time you can persuade me to be a Christian? Paul replied, short time or long, I pray to God that not only you, but all who are listening to me today may become what I am, except for these chains. I've always kind of had a weather interest. For many years, I actually wanted to be a meteorologist. And I've always loved weather and just studying, especially like thunderstorms and tornadoes and all these storms and studying them. I really actually enjoy that. It kind of gets my adrenaline pumping when there's a tornado warning or we have severe weather on the way. But let me ask you this. What if you knew 100% that a tornado was heading to your house and your family was inside the house? What if you knew that this tornado that was coming was a strong EF4 or EF5, the highest rated possible tornado, and it was tearing down everything in its path? Wouldn't you want to warn your family? Wouldn't you want to save them from what's coming? Wouldn't you want to tell them this news that could save them their lives? Of course, absolutely, anybody would want to save their loved ones, and we should be willing to share the news that could save our family, that could save our friends, our classmates, our coworkers, our acquaintances from something worse than a tornado. See, Paul took every chance that he was given to share Jesus. We see that Paul appealed to Agrippa not so that he would be pronounced innocent, but that so the king might be saved. He wanted the king to be saved. He wanted the king to know Jesus. And so Paul did not see the power. He didn't see the influence of King Agrippa, you know, all the stuff and that, you know, maybe King Agrippa could maybe set him free or could talk to Governor Festus to set him free. He didn't see that. He only saw that King Agrippa was a lost person. And he wanted to share Jesus and give him the opportunity to respond. And so no matter where Paul was, we continue to read on in the scripture, no matter how tough times were for him, and he had a lot of tough times, we see that he proclaimed the name of Jesus, and Paul was always willing to share his story. See, we see that his life was drastically changed by Jesus, and it was drastically changed so much that Paul couldn't help but tell people the gospel story, no matter where he was. Paul's best way to share the gospel was to share his story, who he was before Jesus, his encounter with Jesus, and the change that Jesus would bring to his life. And so think about the people in your life that need to hear about Jesus. Who are some people in your family, in your friend group, in your classroom, in your community, who need to hear the good news of Jesus? See, the good news is that we are forgiven of our sins because of Jesus and the sacrifice that he made on the cross. Our relationship with God can be restored. And so Jesus loves you. Jesus loves me. Jesus loves us regardless of our sin. And there is nothing that we can do that will cause Jesus to stop loving you, me, us. And that's truly amazing. In today's session, we saw that Paul had done nothing to deserve being chosen by Jesus, being loved by Jesus. In fact, we see in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 15, Paul refers to himself as the worst of sinners. However, Paul was obedient to what God had told him, and God empowered him and used Paul in a mighty way to share the gospel. And so we talked about how we all sin and we all miss the mark, but the good news is that Jesus offers us the gift of forgiveness. And when we seek forgiveness and trust him as our Savior, all of our sins are wiped away. Jesus' forgiveness is powerful, and it's a foundation worth building on. I'm going to pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for today. And Lord, I just thank you so much for this incredible truth that we've been able to study today about your forgiveness and how you offer that forgiveness, Lord. It is something, Lord, that I pray that we wouldn't take lightly, God. And we are so thankful, Lord. I'm so thankful for that gift of forgiveness. And I'm so thankful for the sacrifice that you made, sending your one and only Son, Jesus Christ, to come to this earth, live a perfect life, die on the cross for our sins, and then be raised to life 3 days later, defeating death, defeating sin, defeating everything. And God, I just thank you so much for that incredible gift that we can receive, God. And Lord, I pray that if there's anybody watching, God, I pray that they would receive that gift, God, that they would receive that gift of forgiveness from their sins, from their past, God. And Lord, help us remember that no matter what happens, God, that you love us regardless of our past, and there is nothing that we can do that will cause you to stop loving us. God, I'm just so amazed by that. That's a truth, Lord. I pray that we would hide this truth deep down in our hearts, God, and that we would be reminded of this. God, I thank you so much for today. You are amazing, and you are worthy of all praise. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Thank you again for joining me for the second of 5 sessions of the Built on Jesus online Bible study. Remember that there are discussion questions down below in the description and all the passages of scripture and some extra passages for you to study during the week are down also in the description. And if you have any questions or any comments, feel free to reach out to me. My email and social media platforms are also down in the description. They're listed below. But hey, I hope you all have a great week, and I hope to see you again next week for session 3 of the Built on Jesus Bible study. We'll see you later.